Today's shir of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Mem Beis Omid Aleph, and we begin still in Simin Lamed Beis at Sif Dalet, talking about how one should properly write the osios. The Mechaber writes, Starish lo tidbak shum os bechaverta. The Mechaber writes that one should be careful not to have one letter touching to another letter. Ella kol os tia mukefes gvil. Every single letter has to be totally surrounded by parchment. It has to be totally white around it. You can't have two black letters touching each other in any way, shape, or form. The Rama adds, Hago v'ichtov kesivatama. You should write a complete, a nice, a beautiful type of a handwriting. As we'll see, all the osios should be as perfectly done as possible, not making a mistake. One letter should look like another letter, as the Mishnah Berurah will tell us. And shelo yechser afilu kutso shayud. You shouldn't even leave off one of the little parts of the letter yud, a little coats, a little top part of the letter Yud, or as we'll see, any part of any of the letters in order for the tefillin to be kosher. V'hi misuyug kihilchosu, and likewise, the letters should be all have the proper tagim on them. There's certain little additional curlicues or little additional parts to the letter that the letters shatnez gates have on them, as we'll see inside in the Mishnah Berurah, and one has to make sure that all of the letters are formed perfectly. The Rama then adds that you should try and go and make the letters a little bit larger. In this way, when if something does get erased, it won't be a problem of the letter being totally erased. It will just be some of the extra part that's erased. This way, the letters won't become dissolved or erased in a fast fashion, and your tefillin will stay kosher. And he brings down as well from the Divrei Mordechai that one should make sure that both the inside and the outside of the tefillin are beautiful. Not only the parts that are visible on the outside, but even the parshios, which are only visible, obviously, on the inside, they should be beautiful as well. That's part of the mitzvah of Zeh Keli V'Anveo. This is my God, and I shall beautify everything for him. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud Beis writes, V'im ha'os gadol v'nidbak b'sofo b'ofen shim nigra mar shadavak mikomokom yishar tzuras os yesh machshirin v'yesh poslim. What the Mishnah Berurah is saying over here is, assuming the letter is very large and it's attached to another letter, so if you were to remove the part where they're attached, you still would have enough of the original letter still present, so therefore in this situation, you can view it as if it's already removed, and yesh machshirin. Dirshu footnote 17 explains this based upon the Rashban, the Chuvas, who writes, Kolaroy lebilo in bilo makevispo, since it could be removed, so we don't consider the lack of removing it something that is a problem. Vedino ki'ilu nigro, and we view this letter already as if it's been erased, the part that is the problem, since you still have a sufficient enough of the letter left behind, so this is viewed, according to this first opinion that the Mishnah brings down, as acceptable. However, the Mishnah Berurah then brings down the H post, and others say, no, until you actually go and until you go and remove the extra part of the letter that's touching the next letter, it's considered pasul. And then the Mishnah Berurah paskins v'skimu achronim lahachmir. The achronim paskin over here, he brings us down the name of the Magen Avraham, that one should not use such a tefillin where the parshios have letters that are connected to each other. Even if you removed part of that's touching, there still would be adequate letter left. Therefore, alkein tzarich ligror mokom adovik, so lechatchila, if they do become attached, there was extra ink over there, you have to go and erase that, remove that extra ink. V'af b'tfilin u'mezuzos mahani tikkun, and this works as well for a tefillin and mezuzahs that have to be written kisidron. We don't say, oh, now you're writing the letter. No, the letter was written before, and it's only now that you're erasing the connecting part in between them. That's not called writing the letter. That's just called making the letters clear and visible. Kivan delo nishtanetzura osos mikodem, because the letter is still there from the original writing, which was written kisidron. Dirshu note 18 points out, if you're reading the Sefer Torah and you see this, so then, im efshar lin so mishi yigrenu bakal, if you can find somebody that can go and correct it right then and there, you should do so. However, if that's not possible, it would be a great tircha de tzibura to go and wait till somebody comes. He says, if that happens, mutu l'krobo, and especially if this happens on Shabbos, likewise, mutu l'krobo. In Sivkot and Yud Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah writes, kol ost, every single letter has to have some parchment around it, so to say. It has to be surrounded by a clear piece of the white gvil. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "Vafilu ha'os achron mehashita." Even the last letter on the line, which theoretically is not going to become attached to another letter, it still has to have some little bit of white around it. It can't go right all the way to the edge. Tzricha lios mukefes gvil me'abu ruchosel. On all four sides, the letter has to have some open space. Uli kuvahu afilu b'di'evid. And if you don't have this, it's not good even b'di'evid, as we'll learn later on in Sif Tezayin. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds, "Afilu miyachsar hakofes gvil lahakot shel hayud." This is not only for the base part of the letter, but all the extra parts, the coats of the yud. The same thing applies, as the Gemara in Menachos tells us. And all of these dinim will be further discussed much later in this siman in Sif Yud Zayin, as well as in Siman Lamed Vav. In Sif Katan Yud Dalid, the Mishnah Berurah writes that when we said you have to have ksiva tama, a beautiful print, a clear, complete print, that means the hainu shelo yichtov bezin kofin kofin bezin, a letter bezin a kof are similar to each other. You have to be careful to make sure that they're 100% distinguishable. And likewise, a zayin and a nun and a zayin, they look alike, and therefore they should be very careful when the sofer writes them that they shouldn't be mistaken one for the other. And anything like this, uchol kayotziba. Then in Sif Katan Tesvav, the Mishnah Berurah says, even the coats of the Yud, what does he mean by the coats of the Yud? He says, this is the part that comes down, Oket Smol Shel Yud, the bottom left part of the Yud. Others disagree about this. You can see in Dishu note 19 that others have some different opinions as to what this refers to. But in any event, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'koshe Kenim Choser Regel Yomin Deposel, if you're missing any significant part, even more than the coat, certainly, that would make it possible. All the forms of the letters we will learn later on, the Mishnah Berurah says, this will be brought down later on when we have all the halachos of what the letters look like later in the Shulchan Aruch. And finally, in Siv Katan Tezayin, the Mishnah Berurah writes that all the letters of the Shatnez Gates, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, and Tzadi, Sofis, they all have over here little tagim on them, and they have to be put in properly lechatchila. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that is only lechatchila, b'di'evet. It would be still kosher if you didn't have all these tagim, the Rov HaPoskin, Imlot, according to most poskim, imlo tiyek. If you don't have the tagim, it is still good, and we'll learn about this as well in Simin Lamed Vav. Finally, the Ber Heitev and as well the Bir Halacha have a whole discussion over here. What happens if just the tagim are dovuk one to the other? Not the letters, but just the tagim. So the Ber Heitev brings down that there are those opinions that say that this would be kosher, and this is based upon the Meiri. Many others are in fact machmir, including the Magen Avraham, the Prichosh, the Ramah, and El Yerabah, all are Machmir, and Halach Lamaisa, one should correct this as well. And certainly, the Bir Halacha says one should certainly go and correct this. One shouldn't allow these to be done in a way that they'll be touching each other. Siv Hei, Tzorich Sheyichtov B'yemino. A person has to write the letters of the Parshios with his right hand. And this is, even if a person is ambidextrous, he should preferably write with his right hand. And a person who's a righty, im kosav bismol psulim. If you were to write this with your left hand, it would definitely be possible. Unless im efshal limtzo acherim ksuvim yomin, unless you can't find any others, so then bidi evid, a righty writing with his left hand, Parshios would be acceptable, but only under the most bidyevit situations. As we'll see, the poskim say in this situation you shouldn't make a bracha on it. But certainly, iter yad, if a person is lefty, smol diday, his left hand, heve yomin, is the dominant hand, and will be considered like everybody else's right hand. So a sofer who is a lefty should write, of course, the parchments with his left hand. As we'll see, if he writes them with his right hand, they're actually no good. So let's go over this again. A righty or an ambidextrous person should write with his right hand. A lefty should write with his left hand. We'll see now that if an ambidextrous person writes with his left hand, it also will be good. So let's look inside in the Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Yud Zayin. And then the Mishnah Berurah writes, the ein derech kesiva b'smol. And when a righty writes with his left hand, that's not called derech siva. And in Dirshu footnote 22, they bring down a raya from the Sefer HaTrumah based upon a Gemara in Shabbos that if somebody writes who's a righty, and they write with their left hand on Shabbos, they're not over in Issa Daraisa. So you see from there, the Ksiva Bismol is not even considered over there, Derech Ksiva. And therefore, it wouldn't be an Issa Daraisa in regards to Shabbos, and therefore it's not good in regards to the Tefillin. And then the Mishnah Berurah continues, V'uadin lasos eze tikkun bismol, b'inyan haksiva d'posel. And at any part, even if you wrote most of it with your right hand, and then you're making some little etchings with your left hand, that's also no good. However, he says, Avo lahafrid negio shebaosios, to separate two letters, you have to scratch away part of a letter that's connected to another letter, so it was already written correctly with the right hand, nearer the kasha. That would be acceptable, afilu b'smol, even using your left hand. And in Dirshu 23, it brings down here the rationale for this is, Mishum she'ein zuksiva, this is not considered writing. Ela hechsher osios bavad. It's like we said before, that you don't have a problem of this being called not written kisidron, so tovia, this is not called writing, this is just called making the os good, and therefore it's not a problem. And he brings another raya, because a cholamoid, if you would do something like this, it wouldn't be osir, because that's not called writing a cholamoid either. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says, even if somebody who's not kosher to write tefillin were to go and scratch away the part that's connecting two letters, this will be learned in Siman Lamed Tes. The people that aren't allowed to write tefillin can't write tefillin. However, they would be able to erase or be gorer over here, scratch away the point where two letters are connected. Al koponim b'diavad, this should only be relied upon in a b'diavad situation. It's preferable to have a person who is kosher to do this, scratch this away as well. Then in Sivkot Yudches, the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you were to write it with your left hand, demkosav bismol psulim, that's what the Mechaber said. So the Mishnah Berurah says, hainu bisholit biyom levad. This is talking about a righty. If you write it with the left hand, it's no good. Avol im sholit bishtayad, if a person is truly ambidextrous, afil kosav bismol kosher. If you were to write it with his left hand, it would be kosher. And in Dishu footnote 25, he brings this down in the name of the Prima Gadol and Rikiva Eger, that this is also based upon a Gemara in Shabbos that says that if somebody's ambidextrous, sholit b'shteyodov, and he writes something on Shabbos with his left hand, he is chayav in Issa Daraisa, and therefore you see that that's called writing in regards to Shabbos, so too it's called writing in regards to the Hilchos of Tefillin. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, and even if somebody's a pure righty and he writes with his left hand, if there's absolutely no other choice, if you can't find another pair of tefillin, so then you can put these tefillin on that were written with the left hand by a righty, put them on, but don't make a brach on them. Then he adds, v'sofer shekosev biyamin. If a sofer is a righty, he writes with his right hand. But everything else he does with his left hand, or he writes with his left hand, but everything else he does with his right hand, so the Prima Gadol brings down, ideally such a person shouldn't become a sofer. And in the Dishu footnote 26, he brings down, because in this situation, you're putting yourself into a suffix, and that in according to some, you're considered a righty. According to others, you're considered a lefty. We had this in regards to which hand should you put your tefillin on, and therefore, why look for trouble? L'chatchila, ein l'kablo l'sofer, k'dei shelo l'ikonis l'machlokes, b'eze yad olav l'chtov. You shouldn't let this person be a sofer, because it's only going to be a question or a problem over here, according to some opinions. However, the Mishnah Berurah does conclude, u'b'diyevet ein l'esar. Such a person did become a sofer or wrote tefillin, b'diyevet, they would be acceptable. In Dirshu note 27, he brings down the case of what happens if somebody is a lefty and he trains himself to write dough with his right hand. Though he still does some things with his left hand, he brings down for the Minchas Yitzchak from Dayin Weiss, that's all, Sha'afa Prima Gadim would admit, Yode, Shekoshu L'chsivas Sifrei Torah, Tvilin Umezuzus, in this situation, of course he should write it then with his right hand. In Sivkot and Yutes, the Mishnah Berurah addresses the fact that a lefty should write with his left hand. And he writes, Al-Kain, im kosav biyamino, posul, kimo b'smol di'almo, v'kenir ali. He says, if the lefty were to write with his right hand, so then it's posul. Just like if a righty writes with his left hand, it's no good. Im efshol limso acherim. Again, unless there's absolutely no other pair of tefillin around. Then he brings down, v'kosav haruma, there once was a situation in Mitzrayim. Somebody once wrote with the pen or the quill in their mouth, and he wrote in that fashion. And they passed him that it was no good, because the ain derech ksiba bepeh l'kuli alma. Everybody agrees that that's not called writing when you use the mouth. And the Mishnah Berurah continues. He brings down the Magen Avraham, the apostle afilu im ef sholim so acherim. And here, even if you have no other alternative, you can't use these. However, he brings down the Sefer Mishnas Avram, who brings down in the name of the Sefer Haget Mekusher and other poskim, that they would say that a person who writes with his mouth, the Mashvin Zeh, or Akosev Baraglo, they would evaluate or compare this, or somebody who writes with their feet, Lakosev Yatzmo, like a righty writing with his left hand, and you can't use it, Lechatrila, but B'dievet, if that's the only pair available, you could put it on without a bracha. In Dirshu note 28, he writes, likewise, anybody who writes in an unnatural, abnormal fashion, for example, he puts the quill that he's writing with in the palm of his hand. So he brings down the Shelus Tshuvas Har Tzvi, Sheposul L'Ksivas Sifrei Torah Tefillin U'Mezuzos. That's also no good. And then he says, for a person to wear gloves on his hand while he's writing, to protect his hands from the ink, he brings down from the Pisrei Tshuva in Yerideya, also, Ein Zeh Derech Kovod L'Sefer Torah. That's improper to wear gloves while you're writing Sefer Torah Tefillin U'Mezuzos. Sivvav, the Mechaber writes, Ein sorich lisarte. One doesn't have to. The Rama added the word sorich. So the Mechaber holds ein lisarte. One should not score the loin. Sirtut is when you etch in with some sort of a implement and you etch in the lines, a straight line across, so you'll be able to write the letters of the parshios in a perfect alignment. So the Mechaber says you're not allowed to do this. The Rama says you don't have to do this. This was an important distinction. Ki imshita el yona. But the Mechaber says you also have to do this on the top row. The issue 29 goes through this in some detail, explaining this is a machlokas between the Rambam, who says that it's halach l'moshe b'sinai to have sirtut in a sefer Torah or mezuzah, but not in tefillin, and the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that that's not true for a sefer Torah, it's only true for mezuzah, and the reason why we do sirtut in sefer Torah, because the Rabbeinu Tam brings down the Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that you're not allowed to write any words of Torah without sirtut. And therefore, you have to have some sort of a sirtut, either on the line or around it, in all four sides. And therefore, by tefillin, you also have to have this, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. However, we paskin like the shita of the Rambam, and the Sefer Torah needs it because it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but therefore, tefillin do not need it as a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and they only need it because of this din of Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore, the tefillin are not psulos without sirtut. And the Mishnah Berurah says this in Sivkot and Chaf, the tefillin are different than a mezuzah. They don't require sirtut as a halacha l'moshe sinai, and only therefore lichtov gimel tevos mit posuk b'li sirtut, the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak brought down by Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore we make sirtut on the top line only, because the average sofer is able to go and write beautifully without the need for sirtut. And when we wrote ein tzorich, it means the emir tzelasarte kol hashitin kidei lichtov yoser biyosher liyafos hashitos hashus biyado. According to the Ramah, you can do this if you want to. The Mechaber says you shouldn't do this. V'imlo sirtate afilu shita el yona. If you didn't do this, then you have a little bit of a problem. He says to look at the Bir Halacha, who explains that we paskin, even if you don't have any sirtut b'dievet, it would be acceptable. And later in the Bir Halacha, he writes, "V'kayom noagu akol l'sartet b'chol hashitim." Today we do it even when you don't physically need to. The sofer can write it very nicely without sirtut, but we are no etch the sirtut in the parchment no matter what. And the Mechaber even agrees that, as he writes, "V'meinu yodei l'yasher hashita below sirtut." If the sofer cannot do it nicely, then yisartet kol hashuras, that he should in fact do sirtut on all of the rows. As I just said, that's our minhag. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chaf Aleph writes, "L'chatchila, you should do this because of Zeh Kelev Yanveyu. However, b'di'evet, again, as we said, in lo sirtate, because of Ashito Sakumos, even if the rows are not written nicely, they're now written on a slant, the tefillin are kosher, b'di'evet, ain't lifsol tefillin." Finally, the Bir Halacha points out, sirtut does not require kavana. You don't have to do the sirtut l'shma, although it is better to do so. That concludes today's shir.